有点痛。You are going to learn how to write and read Chinese today. How's that sound? Yeah. Yes. Even write Chinese. Hey, this is the last copy. Oh, you have a copy there. You can share.
We just need this.
Already. Good. Pardon me?
I have yesterday's.
Oh, you have the yesterday's. Then you don't need this. But, you know, you can have this. This is the last copy, I think.
We could give some.
Pardon me?
My husband and I can share.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We got an extra. Here you go.
Here's an extra.
Okay, good.
For the late comments.
Okay, now, what I want to kind of introduce, just a little bit of historical facts, you know, of the Chinese religion. It is very important that, you know, we know where do they come from, especially for the Taoism, and I say Taoism, Taoism. Is it Taoism more like, not Taoism, okay? Taoism, Tao. Can you pronounce that? Pronounce that.
Tao.
Not Tao. Okay, Tao is wrong. Not T. Matter of fact, you know, the better translation is D. You know, Tao. Okay. All right, now, and the Confucianism. Confucianism is, the sourcing of the Confucianism is really from the religion of Song and religion of Zhou. Okay, these two are the source. The Song Dynasty lasted about 400 years, from, you know, 1500 BC to 1100 BC. It is starting from that dynasty that Xian Hui, you know, is ancestor. You know, the ancestor. You can have this. The ancestor, you know, when they died, you know, one person consisted of Hun, Hun means soul, okay? And Po means body, okay? Now, Hun and Po will go to the earth, but the Hun won't leave the Po, you know, immediately, not until the Po become disintegrated into the ground. So that's very, very important concept for them, because when the Po is still there, even in the ground, but, you know, the Hun, the soul, so to speak, you know, is not leaving this world. Okay, until the Po disintegrated into the ground, and then the Hun will go up to heaven. And then the Hun become Xian. Okay, you have two words here. It's Xian, all right? When the soul going up to heaven, it becomes Xian. But when the Hun still in this world, meaning, you know, the body is not composed, you know, and then it become Gui. Become Gui. Gui means ghost, literally. Ghost. So for Chinese people, Gui is very real. It's very real. So you have to take good care of the body. And if you see funeral, you know, Chinese funeral, even now, you know, this is about what? Almost, you know, 350 years already. 3,500 years, I just say 3,500 years. You know, still, when you bury a person, it is very important that, you know, the direction has to be right, you know, feng shui has to be right. Feng shui, how many of you knows feng shui? Yeah, feng shui means what? Literally, wind and water. Okay, wind and water has to be right. and it has to be harmonious, or else, you know, this gui, this gui will come back and haunt you. That's how serious that is. Okay, and then they believe that, and then somehow this become true for many, many families. Okay, so what this is what we call the excluded middle zone. You remember, you know, the first day we were talking about, you know, the you know, you have this and this middle zone thing, you know, middle zone right here. This is God right there, and this is people. Remember that?
Right.
The middle zone is very real to the people down there. You know, although it's you know, metaphysics out of, you know, space and time, but it is very real. Sometimes this middle zone thing, you know, will come and haunt you. Like, you know, ancestor. You know, ancestor is good xian, good xian, okay? Good xian will help you, but the bad ghost will haunt you. So you have to be very careful, you know, with the burial and stuff like that. If you know the body was not buried well, and then, you know, this ghost is not rest peace in peace and not rest in peace. So, and then you will be in trouble. And then the next one is to di gong, said to di gong, to di gong, to di literally means earth. To di, the two words. Is territorial, territorial gods. All right, now, each place, each earth, or each, you know, territory has a tu di gong, has this, you know, territorial god. And the larger that, you know, earth that you have, you know, the tu di gong is even more powerful. So, if you are the king of that territory or that country, then you have to worship this big territory's god. And it's very, very important that you do that because, you know, this is his territory. You have to worship, you know, burning incense and stuff like that, you know, to comfort, you know, this, to di gong, all right? And then, interesting enough is that, you know, when this xian, this xian right here, do you see that? All right, now, where does this di come from? Di is God in heaven. God in heaven, this is di. Xian and di, when the xian goes to heaven for the period of time, then it becomes di. Di is heaven God, all right? And so, this God, no, you know, at this period of time, there is no moral code, so to speak, you know, for regulating the people underneath. There is no moral code, but just, you know, power, you know, harms you or give you, you know, benefits. That's about it at this period of time. But not until in Zhou period, Shang Di, like this here, it's become more superior, more of a moral, regulate people's behaviors. It's ethics, ethic God. All right, now, so you have, you know, the Xian and Di become equal because, you know, this Xian, you know, so can you see what happened here? You can become Xian when you die, right? When you go to heaven. So you become what? Di means God. So there are thousands of gods. Thousands of gods. Yeah. In Chinese, you know, I believe there are thousands of gods. If you go to a temple, you know, temple doesn't mean there are all Buddhism, really. You know, many of those, you know, are coming from these origin. Okay. Now, one more thing is, you know, divination is very, very important. You know, how do you know your future? They use the oracle bones. You know, about 100,000, you know, pieces were found. in Xing'an, you know, in the middle of the China. They found all sorts of pieces, you know. They cracked the bones and then to determine what kind of fate, you know, in the future for you. And I don't know how to read them, but, you know, there are all sorts of, you know, interpretation of those cracks, you know. You can tell, you know, what kind of future you have. So it's kind of a fortune telling, you know, type of thing. This is, you know, the Sun's religion. How about Zhou's religion? Zhou's religion is more advanced. You know, it's kind of reformed. Although still have Sun. Zhou is a dynasty, by the way. Sun is another dynasty. All right, Sun dynasty and Zhou dynasty. All right, it's a governing entity. And the Zhou dynasty reflect on the Sun dynasty's religion, but reform it, you know, elevate it a little bit more. So this is why Confucius, you know, if you see this, a lot of similarity, you know, to here, because Confucianism comes from this, and some from here, because since, you know, this is from here, so this, you know, Confucian is also from here, you see? All right, now, it's very important to know this in order to know Confucianism. All right, what happened here is that, you know, the Di become, you know, like I said, you know, in Sun, all over, there's Di, there are gods all over. But to this point here, in about 1,000 years BC, the Di become one supreme Di, means Sun Di. Sun Di, not Sun Di. This is just, you know, translation. This is translation. Has nothing to do with this, okay? Sun Di. Chinese Bible now using this as a translation for God. Okay? So this is what we call Sun Di, the supreme being in heaven. And there is a moral implication with this. So it's very important that you do good, or else Sangdi is going to punish you. You know, like that. All right? Okay, now, Tian and the Tian and heaven, this is called heaven. Tian is just and righteous. So heaven and Sangdi become, how do you call it, you know, the same. All right? So if you say Tiana means, oh God, or oh heaven. You know, how do you say, you know, discrimination? You say, oh heavens, you know, and it's the same thing as an oh God. All right, now, so Sun, Di, and heavens become one. You see, what's the significance between the two then? Tian is more what? Non-personable, right? But Sun Di is become more personable. But when these two combined, you know, is sort of, you know, rule the whole thing, you know. So, you know, heavens become Sun Di, and Tian to Chinese people is the connotation of that is Sun Di. If you see heaven, there is Sun Di. Yeah. Tian is Sun Di, all right? Now, the important thing for a king, this is the king, okay? King is in charge of earthly thing. But to Chinese people, if you become a king in the country or in the territory, then you become Tianzi. Tianzi means the son of heaven. So you see, if you become the son of heaven, then you have dual duties. What is it? One is political duties, and the other one is priestly duties. So how many of you have been in Beijing before? Travel to Beijing. Did you go to this, you know, the big sacrificial temple, you know, for the kings in Beijing. So you didn't go there. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, the king has to go to every New Year, Chinese New Year, that's what I mean. Every Chinese New Year, you know, this king has to go there to Ji Tian, means make sacrifice, you know, to heaven. All right, now, how do you sacrifice? Make sacrifice to heaven during this period of time. If you check on the, you know, the Leviticus, you know, in the Old Testament, it's almost identical. Kill the what? Kill the lamb. All right, kill the lamb. And then what happened? This justice or righteous, justice and no righteous right here. How do you write in Chinese? Let me write it to you, okay? Righteous. This is the lamb, by the way. If you put this, you know, like this, in this way. Does it look like a lamb? Okay, with home. Yeah? Okay, now, if you know, goes a little bit even farther, you know, you can even draw a picture of a lamb or something like that, okay? Uh-huh. All right? Just like that, you know? So this is, you know, kind of put it, you know upside up, all right? And then underneath, there's this word here. This in itself, right here, is I or me. All right. So what does this imply? Imply that, you know, the lamb covers me. The lamb covers me. I become righteous. All right. So when the heaven sees me from heaven, sees who? Sees the lamb, don't see me. All right? Isn't it something? Justification by faith, huh? Yeah? Okay, now, this is a very important word, you know, for Chinese and for Christianities too, right? Especially for Lutherans. So I just want you to know that word because, you know, it's so important. That when Tianzi makes sacrifice, you know, Tianzi means, you know, the king. The king, the son of heaven, when he makes sacrifice to tend to the heaven, and he is also makes sacrifice for all of the people in his territory.
Peter, yes. On righteousness up there, are the three lines a different length each time?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Oh. You know, if you write it very quickly, it becomes this, like this. So that doesn't matter, really, you know? Yeah, you know, there's a way of doing that, yeah, of course. You know, if you're going to beautify it, you know, you can, yeah. All right, so it's very, very important that, you know, we understand this, and then we can come to here. Another thing, you know, the filial piety, you know, starts out from Zhou Dynasty. What is filial piety? Anybody?
Respect for your elders?
Respect of your parents, especially your parents. I think, you know, that is very essential in Chinese cultural and religion, really. You know, there is a religious significance, you know, in the filial piety. Again, that traced back to what? To ancestors' worship. Remember this, you know? And if you see Chinese family, usually you will see what I call the shrine. You know, shrine, I kind of erased this here. A shrine for this. for the ancestors in homes. And on that the shrine, you know, you have candles, you know, burning incense, and also a wood, the piece of wood would indicate, you know, your ancestor's name. You know, we Lai family, starting from Zhou Dynasty, was one of 19th brother of Zhou Wang, the second king of Zhou Dynasty, the 19th, the Lai family, okay? You know, so I can trace back to about 3,000 years ago, my ancestor. How do you do that? How do you do that? Okay, now let me tell you how, all right? It's very fascinating. For me, anyway. I don't know for you. Okay, now, you call me Peter Lai, right?
Yeah.
That's wrong. That is not my real name. My real name is this. Lai. Yun Ming, okay? Lai Yun Ming. If you know Ming Dynasty, okay? That's the, okay? Ming, all right? Now, if you look at this, you know, we don't have time to do them all. Just look at this here. If you take this out, what is this?
Sun.
Sun, yeah? Okay, how about this part?
Moon.
All right. Sun, moon become bright, become understanding, become maybe smart, become, you know, seeable, all right? Something like that, all right? Now, this is my given name. My given name, okay? My father give me this name, Ming, all right? Now, this, of course, is family name, right? Ever since Zhou Dynasty, I had that name already. That's more than 3,000 years ago. All right, now, the trick part is right there. The reason is, this is what we call the generation name. Generation name. All my generation, boys has this name. This is the generation name. Let me give you a story. My father's generation name is this. This is pretty complicated. This is my father's generation name, and my son's generation name is this. So if you read, you know, Mi Yun Zhen, okay? If you read them all, there is a poem. The poem, you know, goes back, you know, 3,000 years ago. All right? So this is why we can trace our generation back wherever. And the interesting thing about a story I was about to tell is that, you know, when Chiang Kai-shek's troop come over from mainland China to Taiwan, that's about, 50 years ago, just about, you know, 48, 49 years ago. And my family, from my father's side, came from mainland China, Jiangxi province, that is north of Guangdong province, west of Fujian province. And Jiangxi province and the Guangdong province, there are, in the border, there are Wuyisan, means, you know, a lot of mountains right there. And we are Hakka. Hakka, you know, was kind of cast out, you know, by the, you know, barbarians, you know, in the, I don't know how many thousand years ago, but just about 2,000 years ago. So they become, so to speak, Chinese gypsies. They come down to south, and was kind of cast away by the native people, you know, so we didn't have anywhere to go. So our ancestors, you know, just go up to the high mountains, you know, to plant teas, tea, you know, oolong tea and stuff, so like, you know, red teas. But, you know, our ancestors, you know, moved from Jiangxi to Taiwan and still planting teas in the northwest, northwest of Taiwan called Hsinchu. All right, now, the interesting thing was this person came with Chiang Kai-shek in about 1953 or 54. He just happened, came through my house and saw my father's name right there, Lai Mi Hui, and he come right into my house and shake my father's hand and said, "You are my uncle." The reason being, you know, say, my father's, you know, ancestor came to Taiwan about, what, 300 years, for 300 years. And this person came from Jiangxi also, all right? And come right into my father's, you know, shop and say, "Hey, you are my uncle." Why? Because his father's middle name, you know, generation name is also me. Yeah, that's how we get this thing, okay? So it's very important, yeah. Filial piety, you know, that's essentially that, okay? Now, let's get into this. After this Zhou Dynasty in 500 BC, in Chinese, Middle Kingdom, that's what we call it, you know, Middle Kingdom become warring states because the kingdom kind of broken into pieces. Then what happened is that, you know, it is because of the social problem kind of triggered, you know, a lot of thinkers, you know, because problems, so you have thinkers try to resolve the problems. So hundreds of philosophy came about at this period of time because of the hardship, all right? So I write, you know, in Chinese here, 孔子. Is not Confucius, by the way. It's 孔子, 孔夫子, 孔子, and 孟子, 墨子, 荀子, 老子, 庄子, all these 子 means master, by the way. And all these people, you know, came about. And if you compare notes, you know, during this period of time and compare the Western philosophers or philosophy history, what happened in the Western?
Aristotle.
Yeah, all those big names, you know, came about. So, you know, the revelation was quite, I say, you know, quite fair from God, I think. Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, the Western, you have all those Greek philosophers, you know, we in the East has this, you know, these bunch of smart people, you know, and it's very interesting, you know, how did this happen? And as you know, Confucianism, you know, is still very influential to many, many countries like, you know, Korea and, you know, like Japan and like, you know, China, of course, and then, you know, South Vietnam and, you know, Thailand. Thailand is not as much, but, you know, still some, okay? All right, Confucianism. What is the spirit of Confucianism? Let me read to you one, just a very, very brief. The spirit of Confucianism Let me read to you. Once Confucius and his disciples on the site of Mount Taishan, heard a woman wailing in mourning. Confucius approached her and asked the reason why she wept. She replied, my husband's father was killed here by a tiger. My husband too, and now my son has met the same fate. Then, why then do you still stay here in this dreadful place?" Confucius asked her. "Because there is no oppressive ruler here," she replied. Confucius then turned to his disciples and said, "Learn from this that an oppressive rule is cruel than a tiger." So that's the spirit of Confucianism, which means what? The government has to be good to the people.
You see what happened here? Warring state. You know, a lot of countries, you know, the rise attack the other. The weak ones, you know, was swallowed, you know, was attacked, you know, were killed, and so this is the Confucius, you know, spirit. What he was doing here is, you know, the view of life is this is the center. The interesting thing is, I know you're wondering what is this. This is called, you know, you have to tidy your own family affair first. If you are going to be the king of the country, you have to take care of your own family first. So it's very, very interesting, you know, this concept here. And when your family is tidy and in good shape, and then you can 治国, means, 国 means the country. You can take care of the country. And from then on, you can make peace with the world. 平天下, 天下 means, you know, under the heaven. You can take care of things under the heaven. Okay? So that's a Confucius view of life. And then now, again, you know, you have this Tian in here. Tian right here. Remember we were talking about Tian right here? All right? This is exactly transfer, you know, or kind of a transfer from that to here. But this is more of a transcendent, you know, moral power. So the king, or each one of us as human beings, has to treat people well. Meaning what? You have Tian Dao, meaning this Tian has the moral power to control you. If you don't do good to others, and then you know you'll be in trouble, and because Tian is going to punish you. That's it. And then Tian Dao. Oh, I'm sorry. Dao here, right here. If you see this Dao and this Dao right here, the reason why I put this here is that, you know, so that you can compare. This Dao to Confucianism, like I say, Daoism Dao, and this Confucianist Dao is totally different Dao. Okay? This Dao is what we call the will of heaven, our human nature. You have to follow the will of heaven. And it's very, very different from the Tao of a Taoism, because this Tao is about nature. You know, everything is nature. But this is a human nature. It's very different. Okay? So, Tian Dao means the path of heaven, and can be Kang Zhen Dao means the path of man. Get it? Or else, you know, I'm sorry, this is in an afternoon session, you know. I wish this would be in the morning at 8 o'clock, so our mind can be a little bit clearer here. There's no way that we can, you know, have a videotape, you know, on this kind of thing, you know, so. All right, so, you know, you see this? If you have a Zen Dao, meaning the mercifulness of your heart, then you can treat people with Zen Dao. Zen Dao. Alright? Zen Dao means human heartedness. Understand? If you look at this word here, it's very fascinating. This word right here is this one person standing. And this is two person, P, one, two, two people. Two people treat each other with kindness, means Zhen, all right? Treat people well, you know? So this, you know, if you like to write it, this is the easiest, you know, you can write, okay? Now, Zhen, this is standing, a person standing. How many? Two. Okay, two people treat each other well, means 人, okay? Then, again, we come to this righteousness. And it is because of you are willing to do right at the cost of your own life. Yeah, at the cost of your own life. Then you are righteous. Righteous man is what? Is daring, you know, to do what is right. And without, you know, afraid of dying or something like that. Yeah? This is essentially it, you know, E. I don't know whether we have time or not, but you know, let me introduce you a word. This is Zen again. Like this, all right? And this is spoken word. All right? When somebody speak a word, you believe. So this word means faith. All right? Faith. Now, in Chinese Lutheran Church is called Xing Yi. Xing Yi Church. Instead of Lutheran, okay? That means, you know, more profound, isn't it? Xing Yi means justification by faith through grace church. Yeah, Xing Yi Hui. Alright, so just so you know, this is kind of on the side. But, alright, now, it is because of Ren and Yi, so you have this five relationships. What are the five relationships? Again, you know, this start from this here. Huh? You have to treat your family well. Okay, so the five relationships, what are they? You know, because, you know, within the family now, here on words. All right, parents, yeah, parents, you know, parents and son. Usually they would say father and son because, you know, girl don't count there, all right? Sorry. Father and son, all right? And then what else? Big brothers and younger brother, all right? And then husband and wife. And what else? Older generation and younger generation. And what else?
Children.
King and
people.
And other people. Yeah. Or Chen means, you know, the officials, you know, in the palace. So five relationships, you know, those are very important to make, you know, this society peaceful. Alright? And then there is another one here. Song Yong Zidao. It's balanced between the two extremes. What are the extremes that you can get? One on this side and one on that side. Pardon me?
Good and evil.
Yeah, good and evil, or, you know, kind of relativism, you know. You will take the middle part. Always. All right? Meaning, you know, you don't drink too much or don't eat at all. You see what I'm saying? Those are two extremes. But, you know, eat moderately. You know, how do you call it?
Moderation.
Yeah, moderation, yes. All right? So that's Confucius, you know, philosophy. And this is very important also. And then we have this yin yang. What is yin? Correct pronunciation here. Yin yang. Yin yang. Okay, yin yang. All right? Right here is the yin yang. In the yin, there is a yang, a dot of yang, all right? There is a yang, and there is a dot of yin. That's very, very essential because somehow or another, yin and yang has to work together. The best example I think I can get is like this here. Of the positive and negative, right? Work together. Without negative, I don't think this will work, right? That's exactly the same. So, it make it whole, make it
you know, a wholeness. It is very important to have yin and yang. So it is not degrading or better or superior as such. Yang is better than yin, no. Or positive is better than negative, no. It is a what?
A balance.
A balance or complement, you know, with each other. So it's very important. You have yang, and there will be yin, and yin, there will be yang. Or else nothing works. For instance, girls and boys, they love each other, don't they? Yeah. And husband and wife. Without wife, I don't think boys can give birth a child. I don't think. Right? You know, so is it work together? So nothing really, you know. Sometimes, you know, we say, you know, women is downgraded, you know, by the Chinese people. Matter of fact, give you the example is that, you know, when the woman become older, when the couple become older, usually the woman become in charge. You don't know that, huh? Now you can become in charge of your family. So, you know, really, you know, you can see in the history, you know, there are quite a few, you know, king's mother was really in charge from behind of the whole country. All right. Now, let's get into the Taoism. Any questions so far? I'm sorry, I didn't leave you any. Yeah, he needs to go. He told me that. Yeah. Any question here? You know, this is not the best time to think. Yes.
I work in a school in Minneapolis, and we have lots of Hmong students,
yeah.
Hmong children.
Yes.
And, what religion or what is there a religion that all Hmong people follow, or is it?
You know that I'm sorry, I don't really know, but you know I can. Suspect, you know, I think that, you know, they are more animistic, you know, like either this part or this part. You know, if they are influenced by the Hindu or origin religion like Buddhism or Hinduism, there might some element, might have some elements into it. But, you know, as you know, yesterday we talked about, you know, Hinduism. You know, if you know the Buddhism, you know, they are very outgoing in evangelism. You know, they really like to convert you into Buddhists, you know. And so that might influence that. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea on that. Specific for Hmong people.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
In
the few minutes we have left, are you going to tell us what they believe today?
What they believe to who?
The Chinese.
Oh, the Chinese people.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, if you ask one Chinese person, you know, and say, "Hey, what is your religion?" Okay, then they will say, "I'm Buddhist." You know, my suggestion to you is that, you know, don't believe that. Why? Because they don't really know what they believe. Okay, so this is a very important, you know, session for you, because, you know, there are about, you know, 57%, you know, Asian people here in this world, and the majority of Asian people has this kind of system. All right. Now, if the Chinese people told you that, you know, I am a Buddhist, you can tell them that, you know, no, you are not. Now you learn. No, you are not, because you have. What? Confucianism, you have Taoism, you have, you know, Chinese Buddhism in you. And plus all those things here that call animism. Alright? Because, you know, all these then create a religion of today. Okay? So you have to know all these in order to understand where they are coming from. You know, sometimes you go to one Chinese family, they have, you know, ancestors' altar or shrine, you know, in there. But sometimes they will put, you know, a statue there, you know, will guard their fortune, let's say, with a big, you know, Buddha. Do you see the big Buddha, you know, in the restaurant, let's say? You know, That is the guard of their fortune, so that, you know, their fortune won't slide away from the back door, you know. So that's very important for them. So you see, the shrine, although they are worshiping ancestor, which is from these, and in the meanwhile, it was elements in it, all right? So, you know, there are kind of confused, you know, elements in there. So really, the common people doesn't know where what they believe, usually, okay? So this is why it's so important that we understand this. Then we'll say, well, my belief is such and such. And then you can evangelize them easier and better, I think. Yeah. All right, now let's go to a Taoism. Do we have a Bible here? Yeah, we have a Bible here. What I want you to do, who's a good reader here? Who's a good reader here? Okay, you're a good reader. Read John 1. John 1. Not First John, but John 1. The Gospel of John. Yeah.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at.
Oh, I'm sorry, that translation is not as good as I want. I'm kind of picky on this. Because, you know,
serendipity Bible.
Yeah, it's serendipity Bible. Okay. But they have good thing in there, though. Okay, sure. This is good.
Okay.
RSV.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness.
Okay,
the darkness
that's it. Thank you very much, sir. All right, now, that's exactly the translation of this word, Tao. Okay? Now, if you know Taoism, if you like to know Taoism, you better know the John 1. Because this Tao is the source of all things. And it is also, if you see this, you know, it's empty. And it is because it's empty so that all things can be fitting in it, the Tao. And it is a source of everything, so everything is created or produced from the Tao. Sounds like John 1, right? And this is very interesting. Is it coincidence or what? You know, this is about the time of, you know, John. Christianity was coming about. You know, Taoism. And the interesting thing was that, you know, the Tao. If you look at this word here, Tao. If you like to learn how to write this, this is. Head, okay? Head or lead, because, you know, the head is leading you, right? Without head, you don't know how to, where to go, right? And then, this is walk. Without this is a walk. All right? So, the head is leading you walk, which is Tao. So it's a right path, they said. All right, now, let me read to you a story here about the spirit of the Taoism, all right? Maybe somebody read, it's better. Who is the best person? Why don't you read it? Okay.
Okay.
This is a story. Just listen.
Once upon a time, there was a peasant who saved up his money for many years until eventually he had enough to buy a horse. When he returned home from the market leading his new horse, his next-door neighbor came in to congratulate him. But the peasant, being a good Taoist, replied, "Who knows what's good and what's bad?" During the night, his new horse escaped and all his savings were lost. His next-door neighbor came in to commiserate with him, but the peasant, being a good Taoist, replied, "Who knows what's good and what's bad?" The following day, the horse returned, bringing with him a wild horse. Quickly, the peasant sent his sons out to catch both of them. Now he had two horses. His next-door neighbor came in to congratulate him, but the peasant replied, "Who knows what's good and what's bad?" The next day, his eldest son was out breaking in the wild horse when he fell off and broke his leg. The next-door neighbor came in to commiserate with him, but the peasant replied, "Who knows what's good and what's bad?" Shortly after that, the emperor's army came around seeking conscripts for the war then taking place, and they would have taken the peasant's eldest son, but since he now had a broken leg, he could go free. The next-door neighbor came in to congratulate him, but the peasant replied, "Who knows what's good and what's bad?" Thus, good fortune changes into bad fortune, and bad fortune into good.
Okay, what's good and what's bad? Depend on the circumstances. That's become the circumstantial ethics. How about if I got a lottery, you know, $200 million or something? Is it good or bad?
It depends on the perspective.
The perspective.
What happens?
Yeah, I heard a lot of bad thing about, you know, the lottery winners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the result of it was always bad. Yeah. So, you know, it's very interesting, you know, to talk about Taoism. And if we let's see here. You know, Taoism, you have to be spontaneous and follow the nature. You know, you don't force it or impose anything unto anybody or yourself. Okay? Just follow the nature, the rule of nature. And this Wu Wei, Wu Wei means in active action. What is that? In active action. Anybody?
Like letting things follow their course instead of getting involved and maybe
nothing. You know, the best example is that, you know, if you're growing flowers, right? Or fruit, you know, trees or something, you know? And it's sprouting, right? And you just can't wait, you know? You just try to pull it, you know, a little bit, you know, taller and say, "Hey, growing faster and faster." Would that work? You have to just sitting there and do what? Do nothing. Okay? So let it grow. Yeah? Just let it grow. All right? You can do anything at all. You know, we were growing, my wife and I, we were growing some snow peepas, you know. It's so fruitful. You know, I know when we go back, it will be all over, kind of old. But, you know, on the other side was, you know, the corns. I don't know, this is not a place to grow corn, you know, in Seattle. So the corn is still like this, you know. Won't grow at all. You know, so what should we do? We water the same time, you know, the same way, you know, and the fertilizing. And we don't go there and pull them, right? Because if you do it, you know, it doesn't do you any good anyway. So. All right, now, so this is Wu Wei, means in active action. And this is very interesting. If you apply this to a governing authority, what happened? In a governing authority, in active action means what?
Don't mess with things.
Don't mess with things. Okay, so the lesser governing is better.
The Republicans.
How many of you are Democrat now? It's a warring states here. Yeah. Okay, now, so this is very interesting. You know, the principle of the governing is really this.
You know, this is what we call the inactive action. You know, if you are governing a state, you know, because of this thing here, warring state, and this become Lao Tzu and Zhuang Zi, they both come about. It's very, very interesting. And they are thinking about, you know, how to deal with, you know, government, you know, or deal with people, something like that. So now we have five more minutes. You know, I was going to get into the this piece of thing here. If you have it, you know, read the very last paragraph. This person is a Catholic, okay? He was reflecting on, you know, Falun Gong, you know, how good that Falun Gong. Falun Gong means, in Chinese, Ho Fa Lun. I know this doesn't make sense to you, but, you know, I'm still going to write this. The proper pronunciation is Fa, Fa, Lun. Lun means, you know, Lun means, you know, the wheel. Law of wheel. You know, when you have the wheel going on like this, what happened? You go by itself, right? You know, because it's roundabout, so it will go by itself. So Falun Gong means there is a Kung Fu. Knows Kung Fu? Yeah? Falun Gong Fu with Qi Gong Qi. Yeah? It translated with Q, what, Q-I or something like that, Qi, yeah? Qi is the breathing method, so that you can get energy out of yourselves, because, you know, everybody has this potential, immense potential that you have. So how do you get these potential out? You know, that potential is called qi. All right? When you breathe on it, when you get it out with the breathing method, then everything will be all right with you. Even your, what, broken leg will be fine, yeah? Yeah? Or you have cancer, you know, if you exercise it, you know, and your cancer might be gone. You know, a lot of people testify to that. I don't know. You know, I'm not a believer of Falun Gong, so I don't know, all right? But, you know, the interesting thing was this person, the last three paragraphs, Chuang said, he had tried to reduce his attachments, including eating less sugar, watching less television, and spending less time surfing the internet, and less time trying to always to be right. Remember, to be right is Buddhism, right? Right path, the right language, right concentration, right everything, right? You know, that's Buddhism. And then Falun Gong teaches him to be conscious of his own actions. Again, it's the actions, you know, that they are talking about. You know, again, we are talking about the ethics and the morality, you know. And if I give up such attachments, my relationship will be much more harmonious. Isn't it interesting? All right. And Trump, a baptized Catholic, says, I have become a better person. I am easier to be around. My mind is clear. What's happening here? A Christian, I consider Catholics a Christian. So what's happening here?
He's achieved a sort of peace.
Uh-huh. Not through the Bible, not through Jesus, but through this thing.
The works.
Giving up
the grace of faith, you know, and going back to the laws.
In moderation.
Yeah. And then again, you know, he's talking about Zhongyong like this. You see that? He's going back to here, you know, balance between the two extremes. Mm-hmm. You see that? Mm-hmm. So this Falun Gong, Falun Gong really has some elements of this Taoism and some elements of Confucianism and some elements of, you know, right path, right thing, you know, to do some Buddhism. You see, the combine of these three, you know, together become one. And a lot of Chinese philosophy or Chinese, you know, this kind of thing is the combination of those three. Yes.
Is that like Tai Chi that I know?
Yeah, it's a little similar, but, you know, it's more into breathing and methodology. Tai Chi really didn't, it's very pure. Tai Chi is very pure. Mm-hmm. You know, this exercise, and that's it. There is no religious elements or indication or implications in it. Yeah. Yes.
Why is it considered a threat to the Chinese government?
If you read this, you'll know why. Okay, now, the interesting thing was that, you know, one day, you know, this Falun Gong's believers, you know, just sitting in the Tiananmen Square, you know, thousands of them, you know, sitting there. And then sitting there for about, I don't know how many hours, and then they left, you know, without saying a word. Just sitting there, you know, protesting or something. And they left, you know, without saying a word. And then all of a sudden, these officials saw this, you know, they are so organized. My goodness, you know, if we let this, you know, going on, then we'll be in trouble. So from then on, you know, they start to, you know, to persecute them. Yeah. So. All right. I think my time is up. Thank you very much for your attention.